This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com. One of the things that we're doing here as we kind of launch into the Christmas season, I've got a new series to unpack, and it's always a challenge. This is my ninth year to senior pastor, right? So it's like, all right, how do you make Christmas creative every year, right? It's the same story. How do you tell it in a different way? And what I've learned to do is just kind of listen. And it isn't always something that seems obvious. Sometimes it's like, well, what's the Lord been saying to you in general? And what he's been saying to me in general is all about the Father's heart. And man, if Christmas is not a perfect setting for the Father's heart, you know, at Christmas time, the greatest gift that ever came from the Father was delivered to us. So it's like, yeah, we can do that. So the next several weeks, we're just going to look at the Christmas story from the perspective of the Father's heart. And that's what led me to this verse I want to begin with, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. It says, see what great love the Father, oh, that's good, he's in there, the Father has lavished, I love that word, lavished. Some versions say bestowed. Sounds a little more proper. I like lavished. The love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. NIV is like in your face. That is what we are. Right? It's like, I like that. It's demonstrative. And I remember years ago when I was working in television, one of my coworkers kind of knows a Christian, pulled me aside, and she's like, you Christians, I don't quite get why you have the audacity to call yourselves sons and daughters of God. And I'm like, well, because the Bible calls us that. But, you know, that really doesn't satisfy someone who has never had the experience to know God in that relationship. And to be super honest, I don't know that those of us who are Christians really have a full handle on what that means to be a son or daughter of God. If you're like me and you grew up in a really dysfunctional space where I had no positive context at all for what a father was, let alone what being a son was, I mean, it's all new for me. And I think it is for a lot of people. Maybe you didn't have a super dysfunctional home, but every man is imperfect, so in some way, no earthly model truly represents the full heart of the Father God. And one thing that happened yesterday that kind of helped me get a picture of it was I took my daughter out for her first driving lesson. Yep, 15 behind the wheel. There we go. And yeah, your day is coming. The Hess's day is coming sooner than you'd like to believe. And it's fun, you know. I've taught all three of my kids on our 99 Camry. God bless the 99 Camry that held in there. We figured that's a good beater vehicle to, you know, to learn on. And took her out to the Missouri Western parking lot where nobody was and wide open spaces and turned her loose. And it just kind of reminded me a lot of how our Father is patient with us and doesn't panic and freak out every time we do something wrong. It was a learning experience. I mean, I really messed up, okay? I'm just going to confess to you. Why I did this to my poor little daughter, I have no idea. But I pulled into a parking space that you had to back out of. I pulled in, and I said, there you go. And she gets in. She has to not only back out, turn left, turn right, brake, gas, look behind her. Who's coming? That was her very first driving experience. Like, yeah, way to go, Dad. Thankfully, there was no one to back into, so it was all good. But, you know, our Father is so patient and kind. And it was a little rough. First few breaks, right? You're getting used to that, what that feels like. And, you know, it's just a whole new experience. And I just had to sit and smile, you know, in between the, you know, and just smiling and enjoying watching her slowly, the panic began to fade. She was very responsible, used her turn signal every time we turned left in all 55,000 passes around the parking lot there in front of the science building. There we were, just doing circle, 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 and the security drove by like, what's going on? Circle, circle, circle. She got brave enough to go up into the next parking lot in front of the field house there. It's like, ooh, we're going up. And there we are in a new experience driving around. And finally, she got the courage to go out onto Downs Drive. And we drove the big kidney, right? We drove the big kidney, you know, round and around. And it was just so fun to watch her just begin to experience that. And that's just like our Father, you know, giving us grace, you know, and encouraging us along the way, not panicking and not scolding for every wrong thing. There's a teaching involved, right? There's a instruction involved, but it doesn't have to be the, you know, the, oh my gosh! You know, it's like, it's not that. We're all going to die! It's not that. And it just set me up so good for today, because we're going to talk about the Father's heart and how good and how gracious he is to us. And we are called his sons and daughters. That's what I want us to kind of, sorry about that, Shane. Sorry for the screech there. The experience of beginning to know how loving our Father is toward us. And I've kind of had this phrase, you know, as a part of who I am for a long time. And it's this, that if we really knew how much the Father loved us, it would change the way that we live. It just would. It would change the way we look at other people, change the way we treat them. Okay, can I just be real honest with you? Are we broadcasting right now? Are we live streaming? Good. Because sometimes we look at people like our friends up the street, and we just kind of get an attitude, right? And that's talk about a Scroogey heart, you know? There are people that we can love and let them know. They may never come to Restoration Church. I hope that they do. But if they don't, we've still done what we were supposed to do. Showing kindness, right? Somebody cared enough. They didn't judge them for their situation or what they're doing or not doing. They just said, you know, we care about you. And that's the Father's heart right there. I'm liking that. So, you know, I can't get enough of that. If we really knew how much the Father loved us, it would change the way we live, change the way we look at others, change the way we look at ourselves. That's kind of where it begins. And I've asked help today to kick this off from a special friend who had an amazing experience the past couple of months that I wanted her to share with you. I'm going to introduce her by video, okay? I want you to keep your eyes peeled. See if you see a familiar face in this clip from the 18-inch journey. Would you join me in celebrating the amazing and effervescent Chanel Hall? Hallelujah. Yeah. A daughter of the house. So good.
Crying again.
I love the smiles on those videos, Chanel. Big, big, like high beam headlight smiles. Loving it. Yes. How fun is that? And while you tell us about 18-inch journey, we're going to look at some images of you having the time of your life.
Yes. So when I before I left, I described the journey as like, it's this worship school. It's, you know, we're going to be like worshiping and having fun. And I was beautifully shown. That's what it is. But it's more about the heart. So the 18-inch journey is all about going from your head to your heart of who the Father and the Son is and who the Holy Spirit is through community, creativity, and through worship. And so we really just looked at who the Father says we are, looked at who Jesus is. We looked at how close the Holy Spirit is, and we allowed him in to come into our heart to just really dig things up and replace them with his beauty. In all things, like, we have creative classes. So in art, we allowed Holy Spirit to talk to us through our art because Father's the greatest creator ever.
That's a pretty good picture there, by the way.
Thank you. Like that. That's mm-hmm. watercolor. Mm-hmm. And then we had like creative collective. So like some people would be in like darkroom photography, which is what I was in, or music collective where they teach them how to write their own songs, or like voice and expression where it's kind of like drama or spoken word. We also had pottery. So, and we'd have sessions, we'd have all meals together. We were all about family and community. Jonathan and Melissa Helser, they're the couple who leads the school. If you've heard the song, No Longer Slaves, it's like, I'm no longer a slave of fear. That's them. They mm-hmm. lead the school. Jonathan Helser's father, Ken Helser, actually started the school. He's Papa Ken to us. But Johnny and Mel were our leaders and their beautiful staff. There was 32 of the Phase 1 students, which were only there for 2 months. There was 14 of the Phase 2 students. They're there for 6 months. And then they have interns and then all the staff. I was on 52 acres of beautiful, beautiful land. They have a beautiful lake, a creek. It was just stunning woods. And we would do stillness prompts where we would just walk in nature and we would hear the Father through all things. We had guest speakers come and speak to us about emotionally healthy spirituality and living out of a place of wholeness. We did poetry. We had extravagant nights mm-hmm. like this because our Father is an extravagant Father. Mm-hmm. And we just did it. We had so many dance parties. We had so many crazy, crazy worship moments. I don't know if you want to show the video.
Yeah, let's see some of that crazy worship, Joel.
This was our last worship session.
Fun. How many of you are in favor of doing that at Restoration Worship like that? Bring your aerobic workout clothes next Sunday, and we're all in.
I lost my mind. Melissa Helser, so I love her so much, and she was like right there, and she's going for it, and I'm like, I'm going for it too, God. And like, we're both there just screaming and just dancing in freedom, worshiping in freedom, because that's who we are, yeah?
So good.
And so it was just so good.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, I asked Chanel to come, and you know, I wanted you to hear her story, but I think unpack just a few of the things. And I told her, I said, okay, we're going to talk about the Father's heart today. And since she's come back, that's all I've heard her talk about. So I'm like, yeah, the girl has a few things to impart, I think, to us. So as we kick it off, Chanel, why don't you just kind of mm-hmm. skip a rock over that beautiful pond in Sophia, North Carolina, and give us some of the highlights of what you were downloaded with, and help us kind of launch into this season of appreciating and recognizing the Father's heart for us.
Yes. So the first week is Father Week, and I set the tone of the whole school by showing us who Father is, who God is as Father. Jonathan Helser did a beautiful job of giving us a prompt called Who Do You Say That I Am prompt. And so we opened up our journals to fresh page, right and left. On the one side of the paper, we wrote who we say Father is. And then through faith and through hearing his voice, we allow him to show us who we are. And so my first point is, by looking at who Father is, I then see who I am. Mm-hmm. Because I'm an image bearer, a direct reflection of him.
That's good.
In Matthew 16, 13 through 19, Jesus was asking the disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter goes, you can go ahead and pull it up because I'm not going to act like I know it by heart. Says, now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And beautifully Jesus demonstrated this, because Peter said, this is who you are. And then Jesus said, this is who you are. But first Peter had to look at who Jesus was.
That's good.
In order for Jesus to come in and show him his true identity. And so when I did that prompt, it was effortless for me to tell the Father who he was to me. And then as soon as I started writing, this is who I am, I started feeling this resistance. And I start crying. This is like day one. I'm like already. And I start feeling this resistance. And I'm like, Father, what's going on? Because I'm like, you are my beloved in whom I'm well pleased. You are worthy and worth it all. I'm writing all these things, but I'm not like feeling the joy I was feeling on the left side. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, it's because you're removing every lie that the enemy has told you your whole life.
That's right.
And my voice is filling it. And I sat there and I was just, I mean, I was weeping. And I went on for a whole page. And at the end, I'm like, whew, wow, that was powerful. And then Johnny goes, all right, now stand up. We're going to declare this. Mm. And I'm like, I thought it was over. So I stood up and we declared the first page. And we get to the second page. And I'm like weak knee, like wanting to just bow on my knees and just cry because there was just so much happening in my heart in that moment that the Father wanted to do. And so I just stood there and I declared it as best as I could. And he was like, okay, now we're going to stand on chairs and we're going to declare it. And I'm like, I'm standing on the ground shaking. I'm like, this is not safe. So everyone in the room stood up on chairs and declared it but me, because I'm like, this isn't safe. But then the Father was like, no, we're going to do this again. So Melissa came up behind me. She was like, here's a chair. And I stood up on that chair confidently as a daughter after seeing who my Father was and declared who I was. And it was powerful, powerful,
so
powerful.
Good.
And it set the tone for the whole school, because every single day I woke up and I said, all right, this is who I am. What do you have for me today,
That's
God?
So good, so good.
Yeah.
How many of you could benefit from an exercise like that?
Come on.
I think
it's
everybody
good.
In the room.
It's so good.
You know, what I picked out of that scripture, Chanel, that you read, is that when Jesus addressed Peter in the Aramaic, Simon bar Jonah, Simon the son of Jonah, identified him with his earthly father.
Yes.
So then now it's like, you're never going to shift identities here. Not that he was saying your earthly father's bad. He's just saying, you're going to need to see you've grown up with this filter, this identity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you another filter, another identity. So good.
So good. Yes. Yeah, so that set the tone. Set the foundation. And so just by first being defined by his voice, he was showing me my identity and my worthiness and my daughterhood. So with that in mind, then my next point is his heart is always for connection and my wholeness. So knowing that I'm his beloved, knowing that I'm his daughter, whom he's well pleased, then I was able to ask the Holy Spirit, search me and know me. And he went into my heart and he was like, okay. And he knelt down so close as a father. He's not this distant father that's like, okay, you got this, and this going on. What are we going to do about it? No, he was a kind father. And he was like, okay, now you've got this going on. I'm going to take care of that. And I'm going to fill it with this. And so by me taking ownership of all the things that were in my heart and saying, this is my shame. This is my fear. This is my disappointment. This is all my own worthiness that I thought I didn't have. This is me broken. I own this. I've been carrying this for 24 years. Now this is yours now. And so by me taking ownership, because you can't give away something you don't have,
that's right.
I was able to give it to him. And he said, this is always for connection. I'm not showing you this to make you feel unworthy. I'm showing you this so we can take it away so I can bring you my worthiness.
So mm-hmm.
And so he did this beautiful, beautiful thing that I didn't even realize he was doing. Because like for the summer, I was like declaring Ezekiel 36:26 and just like all these things. I had it written on my bathroom mirror. It was how serious I was, not realizing that he was preparing this for me. Mm-hmm. He said, and I will give you a new heart. And a new spirit, and I'll put it within you, and I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules.
So good.
And so by me being vulnerable with the Father and saying, I have all this, but you're worthy, so I'm going to give it to you because I trust you because you're trustworthy. Mm-hmm. He gave me a new heart.
That's so good.
Because that's what he wants. Yeah. He wants our wholeness. He wants our heart.
That's right.
He wants our connection to him. Mm-hmm. So that's what he did for me.
That word wholeness is so good, Chanel.
Yes.
I just want to say, how many of you believe that Chanel is an awesome, amazing woman? Fabulous, you know? And that she would feel those things about herself, right? And have to have the Father gently. And you'd think, I mean, a girl raised in an awesome family like she was.
Come on.
Lori and Bill Hall. I mean, like, come on.
Yes.
Can it get any better than that? And still, she had these insecurities. So I just kind of want to say, maybe the rest of us might have a couple too.
It's real. It's real. And they taught us how not to stuff the things, not to just, oh, that's there and move on, but to stop and say, Holy Spirit, would you come in close? And would you help me? Because you're the helper. And Jesus left so that you can be with me.
That's good.
So can you come in? And the time's right. I'm not going to go digging around and be like, that's there, that's there. No, when the Holy Spirit, okay, now it's time. Now it's time that we're going to deal with this and open my heart to healing and to let him in.
So good.
My next point is eternal life means that I get to be with him and to continuously know him as Father and to know my Savior. About a couple weeks before I came home from the journey, the Holy Spirit started taking me on a walk through John 17 and just showing me how many times before Jesus was arrested, Jesus prayed this beautiful, powerful, powerful prayer to the Father. The first verse says, I lift my eyes. I love that. Jesus is such a beautiful model, right? And so he just kneels down and he didn't look down. He's like, I'm going to look at you, Father. I'm going to talk to you like I know you, because he did. And it was just such a beautiful model of prayer, of looking up and looking into our Papa's eyes. Even though he knew he was about to get arrested and go to the cross, he said, I'm going to look up anyways. Okay, so so I looked through that scripture and I looked how many times Jesus mentioned oneness and in me, like I am with, that they would be in me, like I'm with you, Father, or that they would love you or know the love that you have for me, for them. And so I read it through that lens and I noticed about seven times, maybe a little bit more, that Jesus was highlighting that. And he was like, this is what I want for you, Chanel, that you would know Father's nature.
That's good.
Because he's one, we're one, that you would know his voice, that you would know his tone, his appearance, what he looks like, you know, that you would know he's an emotional Father.
That's good.
That he grieves when I grieve.
That's exactly.
That he's sad when I'm sad. That he's joyful when I'm joyful. Mm-hmm. He's not just standing there like, oh, you're so emotional. No, he's like, I'm emotional with you. Why? Because we're one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he always calls me up higher.
That's good. I think Chanel, you know, of Romans 8:28, says that he causes all things to work together for our good.
Yes.
So you can view that really clinically. It's like, okay, well, that sucked, but I trust God will work together. Well, that's different than the Father being in the situation with you, right?
Yes.
And I can just hear, it's like when a disappointment happens, it's like I think your Father's just as disappointed as you are, although he has a bigger perspective.
Yes.
So it's like, I'm with you, son. I get it. I understand that this is hard to accept, but you need to trust me in
this.
Because I do have something going on. I remember one time when I was considering becoming a pastor, actually, back in 1997, and I working my dream job and in broadcasting, and I felt like the Father said to me, okay, I've let you live your dream for you, and now I have a dream for you too, if you're interested. You know, it's like, he didn't scold me. It's like, okay, I let you have fun. I let you do your thing. Great. You know, I've got something for you too, if you want. And it's just, that's just how a father would deliver that. Not, you're in the wrong place. You're being selfish. You're doing what you want to do. When are you going to do what I want you to do? You know, that's how most of us would think he would deliver that message. Mm-hmm. But instead, no, like you said, he's in it with us.
Yes.
Even when we screw up, he's in it with us.
Yes.
He said, never leave or forsake, right? Does that mean when you're doing bad too? He doesn't go anywhere. He doesn't punish you. He wants you to do better. And there are often consequences of our decisions. But even then, he doesn't leave. And I'm going to quit preaching because you're supposed to preach.
No, it's so good. It's so good because it reminded me of how he beautifully showed me that he's not a punisher.
That's good.
That when I do something, that he's not going to punish me. Mm. But he, like I said, he comes in close and he tells me truth. He said, there's a better way.
That's right.
Every single time. And then he's not an angry or a distant God, but he showed me that he's so close that I don't even realize how close he is yet.
Yeah.
That every day is a new revelation of how close he is.
Yeah.
And every day I don't get tired of the new things that he's showing me about his heart.
That's good.
Good. And my next point was unity with the Trinity, not perfection, but centering. I didn't realize how much of a perfectionist I was until I got to this journey. He beautifully wrecked that. And how much I try to do better and do more for his love when realizing there's nothing that I could do.
That's right.
To make him love me more or less.
That's right.
That he's always delighted in me. That he's always sitting there at the side of my bed, already proud of me with big papa gleaming eyes, saying, so you ready for the day? And I have a choice to choose him. I have a choice to wake up and say, yeah, I'm ready. Holy Spirit, what do you want to do today? And to really walk out what unity with the Father looks like. And just remaining in beautiful harmony with the Trinity allows for beautiful harmony.
That's right.
With people. That I get to go to work and I get to be the beautiful daughter and walk in my identity. I get to change atmospheres, that I get to impact lives while I'm treating patients, that I get to be at home with my family and I get to look at them in the eyes and love them out of the love that the Father has given me, that I get to come here and hug on your necks and say how beautiful you are because he's told me this morning that I'm worthy and worth it all.
That's right.
And then I get to live life out of the voice of my Father because that's the way he designed it to be.
Yeah, that's good. That's the confidence right there. We sang it earlier.
Yeah.
I will rest in your promises. My confidence. It's like, that's a confidence. And it's not an egotistical thing. It's just the truth, right? Yeah. It's just reality of
it
his love for me. Yeah.
It is. You just start bursting at the seams with love because you realize, just like Pastor Tim said earlier, like how much and even more he loves us and is delighted in us.
That's right.
And because I'm so centered that above all the noise and above all the chatter and above like any negative comments or passive aggressive comments, I get to be positive and I get to be light everywhere I go. And so it's just the reward of unity and dependency. It's just this beautiful gift that we have to the world of being Jesus everywhere we go.
Yeah.
And my fifth point was living life completely inspired and dependent on Holy Spirit in the mundane and in the high moments. Living life so completely dependent on Holy Spirit is better than I ever, ever could have realized. Every day I'm like blown away at the wonder of the Father. In allowing the Holy Spirit the permission to come into my world every single day and to show me that when I wake up, that, like I said, he's waiting on me, but I get to talk to him throughout the whole day and that I get help all the time. That's like, he will never leave me.
That's right.
It's like, I wish I would have knew this when I was high school taking a math test. You know what I mean? Like, dang, this is just absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
Of being so inclined to my ear so close to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And like when I'm making tea, like just the mundane things of life, like this is what it's about. It's like going through our daily day and just living life so completely dependent on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
And even like I said, in the small moments and in the high moments, like when I lead worship and I'm like going cray cray because I look out and I see all your beautiful faces going for it, and I just want to lose my mind because I see Papa just like all of heaven dancing and singing and rejoicing over every single one of
That's
you
right.
when I open my eyes and I see all your hands up and we're all in beautiful unity as a family. Mm-hmm. Like that's like the high moments. That's what I'm like. But the small moments is when I ask him, should I have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee? Because he knows at 2 o'clock which one's going to crash me or not. So it's like, you know what I mean? Of just letting him in and just knowing that the Father wants us to know his heart.
That's so good.
And wants us to know what he looks like
yeah.
in the middle of the night when we wake up. And we're like, why can't I not sleep right now? And he's right there and he's like, hey, ask me. I have an answer for you. You know what I mean? And so it's just been so beautiful. I feel so honored and privileged to be able to go to the 18-inch journey. But it's been more of an honor to come back and know that all the things that I learned on the farm, all the kingdom values are here. I told First Service, I said, I want to thank you all because this church is such a beautiful community and a beautiful family. All the things that I learned at the farm, y'all have been doing it. And it's just so stunning, just the work of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, so much.
What a great way to go into Christmas, you know? It's like this is the perfect setup. How many of you had a hand in helping send Chanel to the 18th
Yes,
journey?
Thank you so much.
Would you stand to your feet just yes. for a second? If you baked a pie, yes. supported her in any way, do you see the fruit of what you've done here?
I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much. All your prayers.
So good.
All your love.
Well, we got a few minutes here to just soak in this. And, you know, it's interesting. I remember years ago, was at a church where there was a worship conference going on. There was a really awesome local worship pastor who many of you would know who was leading worship. And he was so frustrated that people weren't really getting into worship. And so I just asked Father, I said, why aren't people getting into it? And he said, they don't have a reason to. See, I mean, it's like you can lift your hands and go crazy because that's what we do, or it could be an expression of your heart. Or you know what? Kneeling down and weeping is worship too,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Where are you? Are you engaged? That's really the bottom line here. So I just think, I want to be engaged, right? Every day, every moment. but from a position of knowing, I really am his son. Now, you can say, oh, well, you're a pastor. It's easy for you to think that way. Talk to this lady right here if you want to know really the issues that I deal with, right? It's like I struggle day to day, moment by moment, to stay in that place of knowing. And this is a decision that we all get to make. You know what makes an awesome church? Not the best worship, although we have that. Not the most handsome, godly preacher, although we have that. Not the coolest building on the planet, but we have that. It is people who know who they are.
Yes.
And are living and worshiping and relating to each other and to their Father that way and allowing Holy Spirit to moment by moment, decision by decision.
Yes.
Now, that doesn't mean we're going to do it perfect. I'm not saying that. But by golly, I think we can improve, don't you?
Yes.
I think we can do it better because I just know how many times I don't do that, what I just described. So we get the opportunity, and I think at Christmas time, to kind of just focus the lens in on this. The Father loved me
yes.
so much, he gave me the most awesome gift. And it's cool that he didn't, I mean, I don't get this. He didn't come in like, ta-da, here I am, you know, blazing. He came in as a little pink, bally, squally, helpless little baby. It's like, what? So you have a point, Mrs.
Yes.
Doyle? Yeah, I think when the First Lady wants to speak, she has the platform.
I didn't understand during worship. This is what I was hearing was one decision. I think... You might look at Chanel and say, wow, oh my goodness, that's awesome, but how am I ever going to learn all that? I think Holy Spirit is saying, make one decision.
That's good.
Yes. Make one decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because one decision today added to tomorrow's one decision.
Yeah.
It adds up.
Come on. That's right.
And so instead of being overwhelmed by
all the things.
Yeah. You know. Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? What's one thing you're trying to tell me today?
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit.
That's good.
Let's make it simple. That's what he was saying to me.
I like
obviously,
it.
I need to hear it simple.
I like it. I love it when Mama Doyle preaches, don't you? Love that. Well, one decision you can make right now is to stand to your feet, okay? Mm-hmm. Not because I'm fixing to let you go. Far be it from me to do that. But I think we need to have some time to just kind of let this message kind of soak, right? You know, when the ground is hard, the water runs off, doesn't penetrate. I think today you're going to have to make the decision to let this message penetrate and soak in. Some of us are really dry ground. Some of us got cracks, right? Some of us, we've just kind of so calloused and used to just letting this roll off. We haven't heard it before. But when is it the time to let it soak in and begin to soften your heart? You know, the softer your heart is, the more seed then it can receive. So I want you to just close your eyes for a minute, because we need to be alone with our Father. I don't know about you, but I have zero context for what that means, even. That never happened to me, so I've had to learn all this from scratch. It's like he wants to be alone with me, and I'm not in trouble, right? It's not going to be awkward or uncomfortable. He's not going to tell me how badly I missed it, or if I'd only done this or that better. That's not what's on his mind today. His mind is set on, you are my son, and I'm proud of who you are, no matter what you've done or not done. Not going to change my love. That's the case. I never would have sent Jesus for you. You're my daughter. I don't look at the outward, although I think you're beautiful on the outward, but I'm also looking on the inside of you, and I'm seeing things you don't see, and I'm telling you, it's knock your socks off gorgeous, but you have to see that. Earlier, I was talking about Ruby's driving lessons and kind of got this picture that today it's like many of us have already been driving illegally. We just took control and we just have gone, taken the car where we wanted it to go. And we really weren't that good of a driver, and we kind of ran some people over and flattened some people and ran into a few things and caused some damage, and we damaged other people. We damaged ourselves. Today, to surrender, I'm just going to tell you, you need to hand the keys over, right? Like we do at the holiday season. If you've had a little too much to drink, you hand the keys over. It's like, okay, you need to confess and own that. Like Chanel said, she had to own some things, the way she was feeling about herself. The stuff she wrote on the right-hand side of the page, she couldn't accept that because she was holding on to some false identity. Those keys that you've been driving around and causing damage to yourself and others, you're going to have to confess that and just hand the keys over. So maybe that's the response today. You're just like, okay, Father, I'm sorry. I took the car without permission, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I caused some damage. And I'm damaged too. I'm just confessing it to you. So here, take the keys. If that's you, you just need to say that. Say, here, take the keys. And now your Father is smiling real big with a knowing smile. He's like, guess what? Now I'm going to give those keys back to you. And we're going to do this together. Okay? And you're not going to sit in the back seat and me just drive you around. I'm not your chauffeur. I'm your encouraging, loving, cheerleading Father. And I'm going to sit in the passenger seat, and you're going to learn how to drive this thing. And it's going to be scary at first, and it's going to be awkward and uncomfortable, but I'm right here, and I won't let anything happen to you. Okay? And we're going to learn together. and we're going to start slow. And then we'll make you back out of a parking space to start with. We'll start easier than that. But if you'll work with me here, you can trust me. And we're going to learn to go places in ways that will bring delight and joy to you and others, because it's my delight and joy that we do this together. Wow. So Lord, thank you for coming now, Holy Spirit, as we allow you just to do a soaking work in our hearts. A new identity. Don't be afraid of the silence or the stillness.
I just hear the Father saying, I have your hand, and we're going to take this one step at a time. One step at a time. Real easy, real slow. This heart-to-heart journey we're going to go on is real slow. And I'm already proud of you for your yes.
Resist him this morning. Don't resist him. Sometimes it's the very thing that we're afraid of that is the thing we need the most. Hallelujah. Jesus. Yes, God. I think some of us need to consider forgiveness so that we can walk into this journey together. Because what keeps us held back sometimes is the disappointments and the pain that others have caused. So you're going to have to learn to let that go. That's what Jesus taught his disciples. How many times do I have to forgive? He said, yeah, more than a couple. How about like 70 times 7? How about like an infinite number that you can't really count? Because if you're counting, you don't understand forgiveness. If you're keeping track, if you're keeping score, you got a tally sheet. Well, you don't know this and this and that and this. And Father's just tears in his eyes, saying, when are you going to stop counting? Because I didn't count the cost when I sent my son for you. I didn't tally up your wrongs, or the fact that maybe you would reject my gift, stop me from sending it anyway. Hallelujah. Lord, as we take this Father's heart journey this Christmas season, thank you that you're so gentle, so kind, so patient with us, and yet you're strong. It's not weakness. There's a firmness to it as well. There's a resoluteness to it. There's a determination. And yet you're not a bully. You're not forcing us. But today you're just offering us the opportunity. We're owning our thing. We're giving it to you. And then you're giving us an exchange, an opportunity. So we thank you, Father. Just say thank you, Father, would you? Say thank you, Father, for your goodness. We don't understand, God. We don't know the depths of your goodness. We've only scratched the surface. There's so much more. God, I pray you would make this a house of healed hearts. Oh, yes, God, a house of healed hearts. Because only healed hearts can help others. Only healed hearts, that atmosphere, can be a place that those can walk in and not feel judged or condemned. that there truly can be reason for us to celebrate. Joy in the house. Thank you, God. You're so good. How many of you got something today from the Holy Spirit? Anybody got anything today that got dropped into you? That's good. Can we just thank heaven this morning for being good to us?
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person. We hope to see you soon.
You take your rightful place.